Twitter is operating basically with a skeleton crew. Good or bad, doesn't matter. And this could possibly be the biggest Twitter Spaces, the most amount of listeners, people who join, since Twitter Spaces existed. So for Ron DeSantis, you better hope upon hope, and you better have your people checking all of the wires and all of the series of tubes and everything that goes into making sure that Elon's people are on this, that this doesn't crash.
This guy sounds pretty smart. Tendency
to do so. I think I saw Varad Mehta say that Elon Musk better be Captain Kirk here, telling his people that they are Scotty and that the Enterprise must have warp power.
Oops.
No excuses. They better be doing stress testing.
They didn't.
And they better have been doing it, because I'm sure that this deal has been in the works for a while.
This guy's...
And they better have been doing it.
Sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
To make sure that Twitter can handle the stress management, because it won't be Elon Musk who suffers the embarrassment of this. It will be Ron DeSantis.
Yeah.
That's a smart take right there. That guy should look at doing this for a living.
Little weird talking over myself, I'm not gonna lie.
Well, here we are. Not ideal. Not great, not terrible.
Any little piece of information that gets out on you will be used by the worst people on the internet.
How are you, baby? How old are you?
People should not be walking around with masks.
Russian disinformation.
Russian disinformation.
Russian
disinformation. I told you so. I don't know what to say. I guess they didn't do any of that. It's May 25th. Honestly, as I said, not great, not terrible. That's the first time I think ever I've ever clipped myself to open the podcast with. Because I don't remember a time where my warning was so necessary and kind of maybe went so unheeded. And not by DeSantis or his people. But it was on Elon Musk, and it was not, of course, Elon Musk who suffers the embarrassment over this. And do I think it's the biggest thing in the world? No. But you did exactly what you really can't do in his position when everyone, and I mean everyone, is waiting for DeSantis to stumble and fall and not get back up. You gave the media their pound of flesh. They got all of their headlines, which they have been waiting to write for months and months and months. If you were on Twitter and you were part of this, I'm of course referring to the fact that at 6 p.m. Eastern, Elon Musk was scheduled to launch a Twitter Spaces alongside David Sachs and Ron DeSantis. And the claim is that because the Twitter Spaces started from Elon Musk's own account, that it just basically throttled Twitter and crashed the entire app. And then it crashed the entire Spaces. So they had to reboot it. It took about 25 minutes. And they rebooted it from David Sachs' account. And then DeSantis joined. Again. And it went off pretty hitch-free from there. But a lot happened in that 25 minutes. That is all our media needed to write their headlines. And I would assume they were going to write what they were going to write about it anyway. And I'm going to get into all of that. Boy, it's a good thing that David Sachs didn't just develop and then sell a live podcast audio app. That could have come in handy. Speaking of, I said yesterday that last night, or I said tonight, or last night's DeSantis reaction episode on Call-In was going to be the final episode versus Media Lab on Call-In. As I said, it was acquired by Rumble, and I got the notice. They're closing shop, or at least they are for me. I don't know if they're doing it for anybody else, but it sure sounds like Call-In is going the way of the dodo. And so I said that last night was going to be the last episode, but upon further kind of email and review with Colin, it's the end of May, and there are still, I think, 6 days left in May. And I had enough of a queue last night. It's the largest room we've had in a while, and yeah, I guess you can accuse me of being clickbaity with it. It's the last room, better show up, and then I didn't let 10 people speak. But we had a huge queue, and I made the decision that I'm going to do Colin again tonight, and tomorrow night, and possibly, maybe, once more next week, even though I said I was taking the week off. So I will be back on Colin tonight, encore, and then most likely tomorrow night as well for a double encore. Real egotistical shit there. You never come out for two encores anymore. So I guess I kind of lied or whatever. But I will be on tonight, tomorrow night, and we're just going to have a fun, good old chaos time. Throw out our final takes and close the lights and then burn the place down. And I'm sure some of you that either couldn't speak or wanted, I'm sure you're going to have the same similar thoughts on the DeSantis campaign launch as many people did last night. Obviously, it's not good that that happened. I do think that the overwroughtness is pretty obvious from corners of the media who basically were hoping for something like this to happen. And you saw almost instantly everybody kind of jump into their corners. You obviously had, the spin coming from the DeSantis campaign is, well, he broke the internet. He had so many people showing up that it crashed. Yeah, I guess that's one way of putting it. And then, of course, you had Trump's people making fun of it and saying this only just proves that he's not ready and et cetera. And, of course, you had pretty much not even Trump's people, but all the people that are, again, hoping for some of these things to happen, Lincoln Project crew, et cetera. And then, of course, you had the journalists who didn't stick around for a pretty thoughtful conversation afterwards. Like I said, they just needed that opening and that 25 minutes, and they got their headlines. And the truth is, for the people who are really writing on DeSantis, is he gave it to them. This was not one of these kind of bullshit stories that they love to run to make him look bad. You can't really launch a presidential campaign this way. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is, as I said, it was a pretty thoughtful conversation that started. It wasn't so much kind of like a campaign launch, really, as much as it was almost like a panel discussion. It was DeSantis talking with Elon Musk and David Sachs, and then Dr. Jay Bhattacharya chimed in, and Christopher Rufo chimed in with their endorsements. And you could have pictured this could have been a standard campaign event where, you know, the intro speakers come up and say why they're endorsing him and stuff like that. And then main event happens, and he was able to get some of his ideas out. He talked about the bureaucratic state that is out of control and has been since COVID. He talked about, obviously, teachers, school choice. He talked a bit about Disney, and he talked a bit about media narratives that are fabricated around him. And those are kind of all the things that are in his wheelhouse. And the thing I thought, a Twitter account named Mike Solana said, it's nice again to hear someone running for president say things. And that is such a great, basic, direct statement. And that's kind of how I felt. And he just kind of summed it up. We didn't have it in 2020 with two octogenarians screaming at each other or just fumbling over his words, eyeball popping out of his head, etc. And then, of course, we had Trump announce months and months ago. And here you have a guy who is younger. He's incredibly well-spoken on the details of the issues that he's trying to address. And you kind of understand why our media and why the people whose financial dependence is riding on Donald Trump getting the nomination again and ultimately losing to Joe Biden, you can see, one, why they're worried, and two, why they take such glee in errors like that. And I know I talked about yesterday a turnip moment. No, I don't think that that was this. I don't think the campaign is over. I don't think, oh shit, off before it even begins. I don't think that Twitter crashing really says much of anything. I think it probably proves that Elon Musk needs to do better job stress testing his servers, especially if he's going to start bringing in long format streaming. I think ultimately that this is on Elon Musk for not being prepared and not having the tech tested. But again, that doesn't matter. It's DeSantis's campaign, and that's where all the headlines are. The headlines today aren't about Elon Musk. They're about Ron DeSantis's chaotic start to his campaign. It is May of 2023, folks. We are in for a slog that you are not going to believe where we're going to be a year from now. We're going to be in primaries a year from now. This moment's ultimately, in my opinion, not going to matter unless the campaign fully crashes and burns and has many, many more moments like this. And it's possible that that could happen. I think that that's my primary takeaway, is this is not a big deal. He went on Fox News, where more people saw it. And yeah, you can make the argument of, why didn't he sit down with Elon Musk on Fox News? That could have been interesting. But I find the argument that this ended his campaign kind of ironic, considering everyone yesterday was saying no one was going to see this. Well, everyone's written about it now, as I said that they would either way. So the Twitter crash, the glitch as people are calling it, in and of itself, is to me, is not a big deal. It'll be forgotten by next week because that's the news cycle we live in. I guess he's doing an official launch in Des Moines, Iowa on the 30th, and that'll be kind of his first big public rally, what have you. And that's going to tell you more. But no, this moment in and of itself is not that big of a deal. It will become one if many more like it start to pile up. And politics and presidential campaigns are funny things. The biggest problem, obviously, is ultimately that 20-minute crash overshadows anything that he talked about. And what was interesting on call-in last night, the thing that I heard the most, is obviously his attention to detail, the way he can articulate issues, the way that he's plugged into things that people, culturally and economically and in their households, actually care about, what's going on in their kids' schools, is a perfect example of that. He had a line about Disney that I thought was pretty good. I think it could be used against him, but he said that almost nobody made more money for Disney than he did when he fought to keep the theme park open during COVID. That's pretty good. I don't know if that's the thing you want to say while you're kind of the current face of taking on Disney, but it's a valid point. And the thing I heard the most just from Colin last night, as I said, it's not an official polling or a consensus, but it's kind of like a panel group where you guys aren't all just sitting there, but you guys have your responses to things, and I ask questions and just to kind of pull stuff out of you. And the majority of people said they kind of wanted to hear more about schools and keeping schools open. And Zed Jelani had a kind of a tweet about that. And he said, DeSantis isn't really telling the story of how he became a GOP contender. It was during COVID-19. Millions of kids were locked out of schools despite paying taxes to keep them open and operate them. DeSantis opened them, was called every name in the book, and stood his ground. And I agree with all of that. And well, campaign's 2 days old. So I do think he'll get on top of all of that stuff. But I do think if he's going to be successful, he needs to harness more of that righteous indignation that people still feel over COVID-19. He was kind of the face of pushing back on Biden and Fauci post-Trump presidency, and Trump kind of just slinked off to Mar-a-Lago and was golfing. Been listening to the Versus Media podcast, free member version. To get the rest of the podcast, additional segments, as well as comments, questions answered on the podcast as part of the community, please consider joining one of my three subscriber tiers. There's a monthly, then there's a yearly, and then there's a founding tier as well, which I will participate in chats with members weekly and offer some other perks. You're always, of course, welcome to stay a free member here, and there's of course no obligation to subscribe. But you should, because that's where all the fun actually happens. This is the Versus Media Podcast on Substack, and as usual, don't ever talk to journalists.